well, Jan confessed. It wasn't because I had discovered a loving God who cared about me. I did it because of fear. Regardless of why Jan became a Christian, her decision was real. She continued growing in her little girl faith, and she even felt a call to ministry when she was in the eighth grade. She truly had a heart for the things of God. But all during her growing up years, Jan felt she wasn't as valuable or competent as her male counterparts. She saw herself as less than her younger brother, and she felt that her parents favored him over her. "They always paid more attention to my brother," she explained. "And if we got into a fight, my parents took his side. Leave your brother alone," they'd say. "But I never heard, leave your sister alone." As is often the case with children, Jan's perception of her earthly father colored her perception of her heavenly father, and the idea of male favoritism became the sieve through which her spiritual interpretations passed. Jan graduated from high school with honors, from college with a degree in communication studies, and from seminary with a degree in theology. "When I got to seminary and started reading about some of the ancient philosophers' opinions of women, as well as some of the early church fathers, and even some modern-day theologians, I just got mad. The more I read, the madder I got. Is it true? Are women less than men? Does God favor one gender over the other?" When I met Jan, she was a 26-year-old seminary graduate, working as a secretary in a growing church. As she considered her role as a woman in ministry, she couldn't find any role models. She was frustrated, confused, and, as I mentioned earlier, just plain mad. We talked for hours, and we have talked many more hours since then. Jan brought up some valid questions. She was brave enough to voice what many women feel, and we struggled with her questions together. I know what it's like to be in Jan's place of frustration, but in the 2 decades plus that I've journeyed to answer those questions, God has opened my eyes to witness what he truly thinks about women. In my early adult years, I was very happy in my ignorance and limited understanding of the roles and responsibilities of women in the body of Christ. But God wouldn't allow me to remain comfortable in my shallow understanding of his deep love and multifaceted plan for women. For far too long, I looked at women in the Bible through the wrong end of the telescope, making them appear much too small in comparison to their male counterparts. But God kept needling me to take a closer look. Through the years, I've asked a lot of questions, read many respected theologians' interpretations and opinions, and examined more Greek and Hebrew words of scripture than this southern girl knew existed. But I just kept coming back to Jesus' ministry, miracles, and messages. I asked God how he really felt about women, and he showed me through the life of his son. When Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father, Jesus answered, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." John chapter 14, verse 9. The writer of Hebrews describes Jesus as the exact representation of God's being, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And while I don't presume to know the mind of God, I can understand his character and his ways through the ministry of Jesus, his son. God spoke audibly to Jesus 2 times in the Gospels. God said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased," after Jesus' baptism, recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And again, at the Mount of Transfiguration, God said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then he added, "Listen to him," Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. So I have been trying to do just that, listen to him. As we turn the page from Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, God breaks 400 years of silence, and we get a hint that a new day is on the horizon. In the Old Testament genealogies, families were traced through the males only. However, in the genealogy